It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I always think of School of Rock when I hear this. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We just played you our reaction at the very end of the show yesterday as we learned that Patrick Mahomes, in a global pandemic, is living right, man. He is living right with the largest contract and the longest extension in NFL history. And that's how we ended the show. And there you got our raw emotions, our live reaction to, holy crap, this just happened. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. With that being said, let's head to Kansas City. Seren Petro, who is the host of their Afternoon Drive show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, is on the line with us. He had time to digest. In fact, it was probably right as, Seren, you were going on the air. So when did you find out, and what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, we started hearing rumors. Actually, the first person, the person who broke the story was a lady working the counter at a liquor store who put a tweet out, I think Patrick Mahomes' extension is going to be done because apparently somebody from the Chiefs came in and bought a number of bottles of expensive champagne. And she said to him, well, what's this for? Is this for a Chris Jones contract? And they said, no, not for Chris Jones. So she put two and two together and said, well, if it's not Chris Jones, this has to be a Mahomes extension. That was the first thing to go out. Tim Grunhard, who works with us, put out something that said, I think there's going to be really good news very soon regarding Patrick Mahomes. And then at 1:55, so that was all happening during the 1 o'clock hour, and people started to kind of speculate as to what's going on. And then at about 1:50, 1:55, it broke that he indeed had been signed. And so, euphoria took over from there.
So this lady needs to maybe get into our business. I mean, she's got a pretty keen eye for, you know, observing things and getting it out there. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and then people started to say, well, wait a minute, is everybody just going to start tweeting off what, you know, she got like backlash, like, who is this gal? Turns out she was right. So now she's a folk hero around town.
So we learned a little bit something. So it was not Schefty. It was not Adam Schefter who really broke the story. It was the lady at the liquor store.
That's right. That's right. That's how all stories should be broken, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Hey, it's 2020. You know, I mean, do we really shake our head and are we surprised by anything anymore? I don't think so.
No, it's 2020 and we're living in a pandemic. I heard the great PSA you guys had running there telling people to be smart during this time. And people also need a release. So the liquor store has been frequented by a lot of folks, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. I said my initial reaction just once seeing the news is, holy cow, the Kansas City Chiefs have just given Patrick Mahomes the franchise. He now owns the Chiefs. It's clearly they are all in. And when you think about what this young man has done in a short amount of time, it is pretty amazing. So you live there. You work in that market. You understand that market. And here in Nashville, we understand that market too. A lot of people listening to our show, we've been there before to Arrowhead. We know the atmosphere. They're all in on Chiefs football. This guy, I mean, are they already erecting the statue? I mean, he's going to be a Chief for life, right? I mean, this guy is going to go down as probably the greatest Chief ever. Is it too early to start saying that stuff?
No, I mean, I think that's the course he's on, right? I mean, he's had the two best years that a quarterback's had. I mean, at worst, two of the three best, right? Throw in Len Dawson's championship season, two of the four best, the Chiefs runner-up in Super Bowl I. You know, he's already caught up with the championship total for the organization. He's won an MVP. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. So, no, there's no doubt he is barreling towards being the greatest player in franchise history. And I think something that's important, I mean, for people to understand is not only has he checked every box on the field, right? Not only has he been 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, come from behind wins, you know, everything you could ask a quarterback to do, he's done it. But off the field, he's done everything as well. Not in trouble, right? The worst thing you got is like somebody's got a video of him, you know, drinking a beer at a St. Louis Blues game, right? He shotgunned a beer when they put him on camera on the big screen, or catching a beer somebody threw to him during the parade, and he slugged down a beer. That's the only thing. Some people said, well, I wish he wouldn't have drank that. That's literally the worst dirt on Patrick Mahomes, is that he turns out he's a 24-year-old kid, you know, that can drink a beer, right? Like, who amongst us wasn't drinking beer at age 24? And so, you know, he is, to me, being rewarded not just for his play on the field, but the fact that the franchise feels very comfortable that there is not going to be a moment where he embarrasses them. This is not Ben Roethlisberger, who had early success and was just kind of a mess for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They feel like this kid will represent the franchise very well, and you know, that there's not going to be trouble and there's not going to be tarnish that comes with it, that they're marrying themselves to a guy that's a great player but also a great representative of the franchise and the team.
Let's go back to 2017. Let's go back to that draft, because I think it's always fun to reflect knowing what we know now. So Kansas City moves up to 10. I think it was a trade with Buffalo, I believe. It
yep.
doesn't really matter. But they were at 10, and they select Patrick Mahomes at 10. Now, they have a quarterback already, an Alex Smith, who they paid big bucks, and they lured him away from San Francisco. What at the time? When that happened, let's say that Monday, the reaction to the draft, right? That's what we do. You spent 4 hours talking about what the Chiefs did in the draft. And obviously you put a lot of focus on their first round pick. What was the initial reaction at the time? Was it all in? Was it like, a bit of a head scratcher? Just take us back to 2017.
Yeah, you know, I was actually on the air doing our draft show that night, and, you know, this is going to sound revisionist, right? But in this town, people will know that I was big on Patrick Mahomes that whole year. He was my guy. Originally, they were talking about him being a third. I'm like, she's got to get to the second round to get this guy. And then it's like, well, I mean, you know, bottom of the first, they're sitting at pick number 27. This is probably the perfect spot. So that was the dream scenario. But really, no one believed it would happen, because they hadn't drafted a quarterback in the first round since 1982. So we're sitting on the air, Tim Grunhardt, who I talked about earlier, and I are on the air doing the draft show, and word comes down that the Chiefs have traded up to 10, and we literally, Reuben Foster, middle linebacker, is who we thought they were moving up to get, because linebacker was the premium position, and we just didn't even think it could be quarterback. And so that's actually what, at the time, everyone thought it was. And then when it turns out it was Patrick Mahomes, we ran downstairs to the downstairs fridge at the office and grabbed some Coronas and popped them open on the air, because it was like celebration time. It didn't have to wait until the next day. You know, it started right at that moment, and Kansas City was all in with Patrick Mahomes. You know, at least a lot of Kansas City, I should say, were all in with Patrick Mahomes, because we were just happy that the organization was taking a shot. And we'd seen him play in the Big 12 and saw how dynamic he was. And we felt like, listen, if Andy Reid signs off on the guy, Reid plus any quarterback is going to be success. And so the Chiefs will finally have their franchise quarterback. They can get a championship one in his rookie contract, the cheap contract. And so we felt like the future was big. That was, you know, I'd say three-quarters of the town. But there was also a vocal minority that said the guy's going to be a turnover machine, air raid quarterbacks don't work, you've already got a guy in Alex Smith, why would you take this kid? And so there was a little blowback. And that debate, you know, with that group lasted for like a year. Then he took the field in 18, and he's never looked back. He's been dynamic ever since. So, you know, there was, for the most part, joy just in taking him. And it felt like, you know, you got a present, you know, in Christmas of 2017. You didn't get to open it till 2018, and everybody waited for it. But it has been a love affair with most of the town since the day he was drafted, and I would say all of the town since about the second game of 2018.
We're talking to Seren Petro, and we are talking about the Patrick Mahomes mega contract that has been agreed to. And so, Seren, I've tried to do my homework and read Bill Barnwell's piece and other people's pieces on all of the details of it, because it is, of course, so long-term, and it's got so many ramifications for how you build the rest of the roster. So, in general, do you feel like it's a good deal, obviously, for Patrick Mahomes, but also gives them a chance to have the type of roster you need?
No. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I think they've got one more year, right? And then it's really going to change. I think, you know, they've re-signed everybody, and if Chris Jones shows up at camp and is ready to play, 20 of 22 starters are going to be back for the Chiefs. And so I think their idea is that they're going to run this back, run it back is their little catchphrase that they're going with. And I think that's the plan for right now. And I think whether they signed, you know, they were going to sign Patrick Mahomes, but with his contract or without it, they've got big cap problems coming in the very near future. You're going to see this roster really change for 2021. Right now, they've got $176 million without his contract already committed to the cap. And they've only got two running backs, two wideouts. They're going to lose one of their starting corners. They're going to lose one of their starting linebackers, two of their defensive linemen, their guard, center, guard. They aren't signed beyond this year. So there is a last hurrah for this group, and then there's going to have to be a reshuffling of the deck. It's one of the reasons why I've been told by people in the organization that they can handle a restructure or a extension of Patrick Mahomes and carry the $16 million franchise tag on Chris Jones, but that it'll be very tight to get it done. So, you know, ideally for this year, you'd like to get Chris Jones reworked. But I think if you look beyond this year, there isn't a place for Chris Jones. And I think that makes it very likely that, you know, he ends up having to play for the $16 million or gets the $16 million. And as he says, he's going to sit it out, and he's tweeting around with Le'Veon Bell about how, you know, Le'Veon Bell won ultimately, and that's going to be his approach. So they need to win and win now, because this roster is really going to take a big overhaul after the 2020 season.
My brain started hurting as I was reading, like, the year in and year out guarantees, but in a general sense, it looks like they basically have to guarantee big money a year in front of when they actually play that season. So you could get into a deal where if he had some sort of injury that inhibited him throwing, or maybe he's not quite as mobile as he was, and I'm thinking 5, 6, 7 years down the road, where it's really hard to know what a guy's going to look like. That would appear to be the key part of the contract, about midway through.
I think at that key point of the contract is when it gets renegotiated. I mean, I would
exactly.
be stunned if this deal, if he wasn't signing amended deals at least twice before the 12 years are up. I don't think there's any chance that this framework, the way it sits, is how he's ultimately going to end up playing. I think it gives him the security, gives the Chiefs security with an uncertain salary cap, and if the cap goes down, then he's protected and we'll get the money that he's looking for. But I think the plan will be moving forward is kind of New England Patriots style. At least it should be, right? And that is Tom Brady. Everyone talks about how, you know, in this town, the big conversation is, well, Tom Brady never took the most, because they look back at the cap numbers. And in reality, if you look at it, the dollars that were actually pocketed by Tom Brady are the same as the dollars that were pocketed by Peyton Manning. The difference was the Patriots were constantly tearing that deal up. Bob Kraft would give him the big signing bonus check, so he would take home a huge payday every 3 or 4 years, and they would get the cap relief, and they could keep the salary cap number down. I would think that that would be the plan for the Chiefs and the plan for Patrick Mahomes. This is a statement to me to say, hey, we're all in with you, and we want you here forever, and it's a statement by him saying, I'm all in with the Chiefs. I'm not playing the Dak Prescott card, and the Chiefs are saying, we're not playing the Jerry Jones card, right? We are married, and we're going to be together, but I would be really surprised if this deal didn't, you know, 4 years down, say, okay, we've torn up that deal, and we're signing a new deal, and ways to get more of the money up front and to Patrick Mahomes, and then, you know, bring that cap number down in years that they do reshuffle the deck and have the cap space. I think they'll be proactive on this deal. I might be wrong, but I'd be shocked if Patrick Mahomes signs this deal and we don't hear about contract negotiations sometime between now and 12 years from today.
We're talking to Seren Petro. He hosts the program on 810 in Kansas City. So when you bring up Brady, and there's always going to be you got to bring up Tom Brady in any quarterback discussion, but we're about to find out what it looks like with Belichick and Brady separated from one another. I'm not taking anything away from what Patrick Mahomes has done in a short amount of time, but I think anybody in the NFL would tell you that Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. He knows how to develop quarterbacks, and he's finally a Super Bowl winning coach, as we saw last year. So at some point, if he plays out this full contract, you would assume that Andy Reid is going to hang it up. But how much of this do you think has been Andy Reid's influence on Mahomes and what he's been able to do?
You know, I think it's a lot of it. I think it's collective. I think both Andy Reid and Brett Veach deserve a lot of credit. You know, Brett Veach, the general manager now, was in the front office, and he was really the guy that is given credit for being all in on Patrick Mahomes. He started down in Lubbock scouting him and talking to coaches and doing background on him when he was a sophomore. And of course, he left after his junior year, but he really put in 2 years of going down to Lubbock because he was all in on the kid. And he was the one that sold Andy Reid and kept on Andy Reid. And Reid's told the story a couple times about how he's like, listen, you got to look at this guy. He's the best football player I've ever scouted. You know, he's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. And as he was rising in that draft, you know, he was the one that kept pushing him. And I remember talking to him, Brett Veach, in his office after they had made the trade. I said, listen, there's a lot on the line. You gave up a lot, you know, 2 first-round picks, a second-round pick to go up and get this guy. I said, you know, he said, listen, in the end, if we're right, it won't matter. No one will care. And that's exactly what it's been. And so, yes, I think this deal doesn't come together the way it is, this big, unless Andy Reid's there. One, Andy Reid magnifies what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, but I think Patrick Mahomes loves playing for Andy Reid. He loves all the information and insight that he has given him, and he knows that he's in a great spot, that he's got a great offensive mind, and that he's always going to be one step ahead when it comes to the preparation, and that gives him a chance to maximize his ability. So I think Veach, there's been a relationship with Brett Veach for a long time. I think the relationship with Andy Reid has been rock solid since day one, and I think that is a big part of the reason that you know, this situation is so right for him. And I think, you know, ownership, Clark Hunt is not a dynamic owner. He's not out front, and I think that's one of the things that he likes as well. There's no competing or listening to your owner say something like you have maybe in Dallas with Jerry Jones. You know, it's always about the football team, and I think that's a really comfortable environment. And I think every part of how Andy Reid manages his players, he lets them be men. He's not over your shoulder all the time, and sometimes that can burn you with some guys that don't know how to be an adult, right? But for Patrick Mahomes, that's the right management style, and I think all those factors come together for why it's such a good fit here in Kansas City for him.
You bring up Clark Hunt, because that was going to be my next question of just the – were you surprised at all that this kind of money was being given out to a player? Has Clark Hunt ever – and I know this is an unprecedented contract, so it's really hard to have a comparison.
Sure.
But has he ever shown that he's willing to do something similar to this, as similar as you can get since he's been the owner of the Chiefs?
You know, when you don't win, fans lash out, right? Like if you get a bad meal at a restaurant, you bring the manager over and you complain. You don't know why it's bad. Is it, you know, they couldn't get quality meat in? Somebody didn't show up in the kitchen? You don't care, but you're just like, you suck, guy, right? It's your fault. And so when the Chiefs weren't winning, you know, Clark Hunt was accused of being cheap. I never thought that was fair. And really, it's kind of hard to be cheap in the NFL with a salary cap. Now, you can be cheap in your support with what you do with the kind of facilities and the different things that you do, the amount of scouts and that kind of thing. He's never been that. You know, the Chiefs had the highest paid defensive player in the NFL when they signed Justin Houston's contract. They had the highest paid safety in the NFL when they signed Eric Berry's contract. They had the highest paid tight end in the NFL when they signed Travis Kelce's contract. It doesn't get, you know, publicized because the Chiefs have never won, right? You learn about the teams that win championships. Everybody kind of knows how the New England Patriots do business. It's never really been known how the Chiefs do business, because why bother? They were in the playoffs and out in the first game almost every time they got there, and they'd get there every 3 or 4 years. So they were a nondescript organization. But I don't think it was because Clark Hunt didn't have a passion to win. And I think he finally, you know, he tried for – listen, even hiring Scott Pioli as his general manager, Scott Pioli was 3 or 4-time executive of the year with the New England Patriots. He went out and got the most expensive GM in football. It just didn't work. It wasn't because he, you know, had a bad idea or a dumb plan. It just didn't come together. He re-racked it, and he went out and got the most expensive coach that was on the market in Andy Reid. And now he's gotten the best quarterback, and he's paying him. So, you know, I think it's been – he is very understated as an owner, and I think that because of that reason, a lot of the things he does don't get as known, but I think you'll learn more about it if the Chiefs are that kind of dynasty team and you know, they get the coverage that those teams get.
Seren, last night our producer Marquis sent this to me. Mike Greenberg of ESPN put this out on Twitter. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? We talked about this earlier. It's a tough question to answer, and I know football contracts are different from others, but how would you answer that question?
You know, that's interesting. You know, the NBA, listen, the injury factor is one thing. It's a great question because there's so many different directions you can go with it. The injury factor is real. He had wrist surgery at Texas Tech. He's had his kneecap dislocated and a sprained ankle last year. He throws his body around in a violent sport. So, I can see a scenario. Is he going to be playing at 40? I really don't think so. Because of the way he plays, and unless he can really change his mindset and maybe this contract. I know his teammates have told him, like, get down, you know, don't be a hero. And there are times that just competitive instinct takes over. Maybe this contract will inspire him to go ahead and learn the Peyton Manning turtle, and he can, you know, be healthy back there and live up to the contract. So, I mean, I think the answer is no. I don't know that there's anybody that has, you know, when you talk about young, right, that has the combination of on and off the field, because there's a charisma to the kid, there's a charm to him, and he really does seem like the good big brother out there, right? He's still a kid, but you know you can trust him, and he's got that kind of charm. And I think he's also got, you know, the fact that he brought this up with the Black Lives Matter movement, is, you know, he's got a black dad and a white mom. I mean, he kind of crosses to all branches of culture, right? And he's the most popular player playing the most important position in the most popular sport in America. So, no, I think he's the obvious choice. Now, Mike Trout might be able to be healthy longer. Giannis, or I'm trying to think if there's an NBA guy that would fit that mold. But most of the guys that are the iconic stars in the NBA are older. So, no, I think he would have to be the guy that you would gravitate towards.
Last thing real quick. The Titans sent out something to their season ticket holders saying, hey, if you want to roll your stuff into 2021, that's fine. If you want a refund, that's fine. That's pretty unprecedented for an NFL franchise to say something like that. Usually they're not in the business of giving you your money back. How do you think this season is going to play out, like, fans-wise? And do you have reservations that they're even going to finish the season? Like, what are your, as we wrap this up, what are your thoughts on the 2020 NFL season?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of sad here, because, like, there's going to be a ring ceremony and there's going to be no fans in Arrowhead. Like,
right.
What do I think it's going to be? I think at best you're going to see, you know, a tenth of capacity, 6,000-7,000 people, maybe 10,000 or 11,000 people. Listen, the way the numbers are, and I know nobody, you know, everyone's worn out about talking about the pandemic, and, you know, unfortunately, what is a medical decision has become a political topic that gets rehashed all the time. But the way the numbers are going right now, I mean, the effect of what the positive tests are right now are going to be felt in 2 to 4 weeks, right around the time training camps are going to get going, right around the time they're supposed to have the preseason. They're not canceling preseason games because they're optimistic. So I am optimistic that there's so much money on the line, both for players and ownership. It's different than college football, where the kids, there's no benefit for them. There's benefit for the players. So they have an incentive to want to play. The television has an incentive to put it on TV. The owners have the incentive to make 2/3 of their revenue, which is the national TV deal. So I think we get it, but I would be stunned if there are packed stadiums. In fact, I'd be stunned if there's even any fans in the stands. I know I'm not going, right? I'm not going to go hang out and listen to people scream and yell next to me in a cold environment. So I think we'll get football. I think we'll at least get it started. And I think we're, you know, maybe 50-50 at best that we see the season finish. But I'd like to be more optimistic, right? We've been doing 4 months of sports talk with no sports in our industry. Trust me, nobody's rooting for it more than all of us in this industry, but you want an honest answer? No, I don't think you can be optimistic the way the country is handling things right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, unfortunately. Seren, thanks for the visit. As always, appreciate it. Keep up the good work in KC.
Thanks, brother. Always great being on with you guys.
All right, Seren Petro, 810 there in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's the host of Afternoon Drive Show. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.